using the words of the Apostle Paul from his letters, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen." Text for our meditation this morning is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. I would encourage you to turn in your bulletins to that section, right at the sermon section. The text is there. I want you to join together with me in reading these words. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 on page 5 in our bulletin. Join with me. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound in you, in order that in everything, always, having all sufficiency, you might abound in every good work." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, grace beginning to end. That's been our theme for the last several weeks. We begin every day only under the banner of God's grace. And we end every day under that same banner of God's grace. If we start a new project or bring a long-time existing project to an end, it's all grace. If you dream and hope about the future, it's grace. And if you reminisce about the past, that too must be grace. If we try to do anything together as a congregation and try to reach out into our local community, that's grace. But if we're going to join together with other congregations and think about what we do in our entire city, like with Lutheran Multicultural Mission or with the ministry of Lutheran High School that we're observing today, or whether we think about linking up with partnership with a missionary halfway around the world, all of that too is grace. It's grace beginning to end. That's Paul's point. As we begin and end every single day, as Paul would begin and end every single one of his epistles, in one of the first few verses, and always in one of the last couple of verses, we see him point us to grace. For this third week now, we've been thinking about that theme of grace beginning to end, especially taking a look at some readings from 2 Corinthians. We looked at chapter 2, last week chapter 8, and now this morning chapter 9. If you haven't read all of 2 Corinthians in a while, go ahead and read the entire letter. It'd be a good idea, some good devotional time for you this week. The context of 2 Corinthians is that Paul is planning on visiting the Corinthians. And before he gets there, he wants them to complete the task of gathering together a special, what we might call, love offering to help out the saints in Jerusalem who were oppressed in their life because of persecution and famine. We've emphasized that true giving in the life of a church, true giving in the life of a Christian, is always that which flows out of grace. True giving isn't about achieving goals and finding targets. True giving is about grace that allows us to reflect the face of Jesus Christ in the world. Pardon the interruption, but I got the aura of a migraine starting. I got to knock it down. Thanks, Greg. Okay. My daughters will only let me take half that much. Okay. So if I pause a little longer to look for something on my notes, you know why? Because I can't see really great right now, but we'll get through this. All right. So this morning we linger. We linger in this emphasis on graceful giving. Right at a time when we are preparing as a congregation to participate in our annual offering of pledges. In your bulletin this morning, you see the envelope. and encourage you not to let that become dashboard trash, but when you open up the envelope, you find the normal annual pledge card, just like we do every year. Fill that out this week, and we bring that back and present it before the Lord as our personal pledge to Him in support of ministry here at St. John for next year in 2015. But as we think about that kind of giving and commitment, we remind ourselves that grace always is about, or giving is always about grace. So looking over those words we read a moment ago, grace is always generous and it's never stingy. Grace is always deliberate. We make decisions about where we are going to apply the resources that God has put into our life, our time, our talents, and our abilities, and physical things that God has given us. We make deliberate decisions about where we are going to apply those gifts to the things that we have become convinced of are God's will for us to accomplish in our life. So we're deliberate. Each one, Paul says, should decide in his own heart. Grace is something that does flow from the heart. And giving flows from the heart. If it's been a long time since you actually felt your offering, if it's been a long time since you actually felt an area of service, I'm not just saying you're able to check it off the daily task list, but feeling that, when you actually place that offering in the plate as it goes by, as you write out a check to some Christian organization, a ministry that you're supporting, if it's been a long time since you've felt that gift, reexamine that. Get back in touch with that ministry. Find out what it's doing, who it's helping, what it's accomplishing, how people are coming to know Jesus Christ through that. Because giving, grace giving, comes out of the heart. Paul goes on to say that grace giving can never be forced. It's not a compulsion thing. It shouldn't be guilt. It shouldn't be orchestrated by manipulation or law. Grace giving is full of joy and it's free. And I'm going to take a risk here and even say grace giving can be fun. You should think about these gifts flowing from God through you to support those efforts to reach many people with the life of Jesus Christ. Grace giving is always based upon the firm foundation that God's grace will never run out. And we take a look at the last verse of our text for today, where Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in everything, having all sufficiency, you might abound in every good work. That's grace giving. Grace giving is never about budgets, and it's never about institutions, and it's never about gaining recognition. But in reading 2 Corinthians, and again, I'd urge you to read that entire letter, as we take a look at Paul's plea for those Corinthians to participate in that gathering of that offering, we do find something that is true, and that is that grace giving can supply needs. Supplies needs of people. Even as we might support Christian ministries and even Christian institutions through our giving, it's really not about making sure those institutions are okay. Because an institution could disappear and it wouldn't really matter that much. But giving is about people and about the people that are going to be touched with the gospel through that giving. And that's why I would like to spend a little bit of time this morning sharing with you about a perception that I have about this congregation and about its blindness. And I don't want to say that in a bad way, but I will share this careful observation that's deep down in my heart. Been here 14 years now. It's a long time. And I remember 14 years ago, when I first came here, when I was deliberating the call, I spent a lot of time looking at this congregation, looking at what it was doing, what it was accomplishing, the community that it was in, seeing the opportunities to reach out with the gospel. And I thought, wow, What a great place. And I got here, and very soon after I got here, what I heard was a lot of grumbling. A lot of grumbling and complaining. That's kind of scratchy. The good thing about that time, 14 years ago, I knew it wasn't grumbling and complaining about me yet, because I hadn't done enough to get into it. But I heard this, that. And I thought, there's a lot of good stuff happening here. How could we be missing that as a congregation? In the 14 years that have passed, I've realized that a lot of that good stuff, the gospel grace work of the kingdom of God, does go on here all the time. But sometimes we don't get to, not allowed to, or sometimes don't want to, see what God is accomplishing through the ministry here at St. John. And when we get disconnected from what the Spirit of God is doing, you take the Spirit of God out of the equation of our lives, what do you have left? You have nothing left but the flesh. And the flesh is only able to produce what? Grumbling and complaining about how hard life is and about how worn out we are about serving and about giving. And though we might not be outright in public in our conversations about that observation, about how life is just too tough and we're being expected to do too much and all that, why are we there? Because the Spirit of God's been removed from our hearts and we're only thinking out of the flesh. Sometimes we may express that communication silently, but powerfully, by simply removing ourselves from the participation. Removing ourselves from the joyful giving. Removing ourselves from responding to opportunities for service. Simply because we've come to the conclusion, it's too much. And the reason why we come to that conclusion, it's too much, is because we fail to see the grace. And we fail to see what, through us, God is doing with His grace to transform people's lives from darkness to light, from death to life, into the kingdom of God. What my fervent desire would be is that every single member of this congregation could walk with me and intersect with all of the lives of so many people that I get to intersect with. And yeah, sometimes I grudgingly do it as well. I get tired just like you all do. But to intersect with all those lives and see, what does this look like? It may be not some fancy program that we can say, ooh, look what we did. But God is at work here. Short of you all joining with me, but that would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it? You know, schedule an appointment with someone to talk about something and suddenly 300 people show up in the office to have that conversation. Might be a little tough. Short of that, it would require being able to talk about that out loud. About sharing stories about what God is doing and what He's at work doing here in this place. But because of our Lutheran heritage, we are afraid that if we start telling those stories, we're going to become guilty of tooting our own horns. And we're going to be guilty of being conceited if we talk about what God is accomplishing here in this place. And I suppose there's always some danger in that. A church that is always focused on telling everybody how great they are is probably lost its focus. But if we never tell this story, if we never tell the grace stories, we are in danger of overlooking the power of God's grace at work in our midst. And if the grace and the Spirit are removed, remember what we said, what does that leave us with? It's nothing but the flesh. And then we're going to get downhearted. God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to rescue us. To rescue us. Not just to mend a few fences and not just to tweak a couple of broken things about our life, but Jesus came on that rescue mission to go to the cross, to lift us up with Him on that cross, so that we died with Him to our sin, and so that in His resurrection we too could rise to newness of life. And He gives all of that blessing to us to share in our baptisms. And now through the Spirit of God, He freely pours that grace upon us, so that, in the words of our text, abounding in grace, we are ready to abound in every good work. Like I said, I wish you all could join with me and see every single face of every single person that gets impacted by this ministry, but you can't, and I know that. So this morning, what I'd like to do is simply share with you three stories. That's why that intrusion of electronic is here in the sanctuary. I know some of you probably walked in this morning. Just bear with me just for 1 week. We need it here. Because we're going to use that. I've got permission of three families. They're relatively new to our congregation. One's in the process of joining the church. One about a year ago, and one family a couple of years ago. And listen to their stories. All of it was unrehearsed, no scripts. There was nothing that was planned. I grabbed them out of the hall, drug them into the conference room, took a camera and said, "Speak." And listen to what God's grace is doing as He shares with us the great blessing of what He's at work doing among us. And think about what we get privilege of being a part of.
Especially here at your best, being the day that many years ago that I lost my best friend. She died in my arms on that date. We wanted a positive experience to that date, and there's nothing better we could have chosen than to be baptized and all three of us together on that date. And it has. It's given us new life on that date. And it was such an amazing experience. But we can read a month on that. Being only 6 years old, we don't have to feel, we don't understand a little bit what's going on with that. It was neat for him to talk to me about it when we got home and how much it meant to him. And he said, oh, I just felt so special, Mom. I just felt so special.
I just felt so special, Mommy. So special. That's God's grace at action. I shared three with you, all by their permission, by the way. I'm not sharing things out that they didn't want to allow to be shared. I could share dozens more of those kind of stories. So now, it's time. It's time for all of us during this week to think and to pray and to be deliberate about our giving plan for the next year. We thank God for His grace and the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us forgiveness and lifts us through the cross and through the resurrection. We thank God for the grace that God has given to us to be His ambassadors as God makes His appeal to the world through us. We thank God for specific blessings that allow us to live this life, and some really amazing, miraculous blessings that God has done. My friends, it is nothing short of miraculous, of God's hand reaching in during this year and refinancing the whole mortgage thing through Lutheran Church Extension Fund so that next year just our normal mortgage payments are about $60,000 less than they were this year. Not to mention all those rebates that we get that we've been working on. What an amazing thing that is. Now, mostly because of that, that one particular blessing, I'm going to say something that I've never said before in 25 years as being a pastor. Next year, our budget needs are going to make it so that our weekly needs in the offering are actually less next year than they are this year. I've never said that ever. But what a blessing. You know, we always have fallen short a little bit. Next year, we really have a legitimate shot of being able to completely cover, by God's grace, to cover all the support of all those things that God has laid upon our hearts as a congregation. And that's not only keeping the lights on here and doing the mysteries we do here at St. John, but finally get back to being able to support those ministries that are outside of our congregation as well. Because we realize that just as each one of us as an individual person can't accomplish everything God wants us to do, so also we as a congregation all by ourselves can't accomplish everything that we want to do. And so we get that legitimate grace gift next year to get back into the full funding of all of that. By God's amazing grace, we really are in a great position this next year. So what do? It's going to require a little bit of an increase for next year in order to get all that done in our normal giving and in order to actually meet what those weekly needs are. So each one of us considers, can I be the one through whom God pours out that abundant grace? Can I give just a little bit more, maybe $5 a week more? Or can I use online giving for the first time in my life? Because that'll make sure that even if I'm not here, that I'm still giving all the time. Or maybe I'm someone who's never been consistent, and I'm going to make a pledge to do that next year, to be the one to give every week for the first time in my life. And God will use it all so that we get to see Him pouring out His grace among us. So that the very heartfelt, soul-needed needs of forgiveness and life and salvation in the hearts of all the people that we get to intersect with get to receive that gift of Jesus Christ. And through it all, we are reminded it is always grace from beginning to end. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.